A lifetime of music. Curtain Radio. Now, our next guest this afternoon is, as I say, Gary Stone, who is an investment strategist. Good afternoon, Gary.
Good afternoon, Mike.
Thank you very much indeed for joining us. Why do a lot of guests have these difficult words for me to say? Investment strategist. I've said it again, so I'm getting better.
Well, I think when you talk, you might have difficulty saying it, but I think what a lot of people don't realise is that everybody is an investor who invests in a super fund.
Well, that's true. So I suppose everybody is. Yes, that's very true. What is this game changer that you're going to tell us about, though, that will leave super funds in the dust? Firstly, what does that statement actually mean?
Okay, well, what it means is that everybody's an investor that's working and contributing to a super fund.
Yeah,
it's mandatory, so we can't not be an investor, but most people don't see themselves as investors until they probably get to the latter parts of their lives and retirement becomes more front of mind.
Yes.
And I guess what I'm trying to do is awaken everybody, even people in their 20s, 30s and 40s, and certainly people that are close to or in retirement, to a different way of doing it. And I think what we do is when we are faced with a new employment, either for the first time or at some stage of our careers, we get a form thrust in front of us that has an A4 form and has a bunch of tick boxes on it, and we go to select which one we want to contribute our superannuation to. And very few of us give much thought to that.
That's right. And I was going to say it's almost a lottery, but it isn't if you go and talk to someone like yourself, of course.
Well, it is a lottery. I've used that word before. and the reason that it's a lottery is that there are some 500 super funds out there, but I think that the numbers are there's about 350 odd that have more than $50 million invested in them. And that meaning that there's just a wide range of outcomes that will occur over the long term, because people are going to be contributing for 40, 45 years. And what the outcome is, nobody knows what it's going to be in the long term.
Sure, absolutely. No, I mean, my income is from the UK, from pensions in the UK. So I particularly watch the rate of exchange, for example, between the Australian dollar and the pound. And of course, if I could forecast what was going to happen there, I wouldn't be sitting here. So it is very difficult. But the information you sent us had quite an interesting example where there was a difference in what might have happened depending on which particular super account balance you put it in. I mean, perhaps you might explain that to our listeners.
Yeah, I will. So we're trying to look forward, and the best way to look forward is to use history as an indication of what might happen going forward. And what we've seen since super funds were introduced some 24 years ago now, if we compare, so now we've got a lot of data, and you're talking to an educated network such as Curtin University, people understand a little bit about statistics. And the if we look back over the period of time since super guarantee was mandated, if you compare the returns of all of the super funds and you put them in a bracket of the worst, the best, and then take the median, the one that's at the 50 percentile, that's sort of the halfway up the whole rung.
Yes.
If you compare that median, meaning that 50% of the super funds would have been worse than the median, and you compare that to what the stock market index has achieved over that period of time, the funds, the super funds, would be 2.6% compounded per annum worse than if people had just be invested in the stock market index. And over 24 years, 2.6% compounded per annum difference means that you could have had a superannuation nest egg or lump sum that would be 70% larger if you had just invested in the stock market index and left your money there and reinvested the dividend.
Okay, that's sort of good news or bad news, depending on whether you did it or not. But how does a listener today say, well, okay, Gary, how do I look forward to the best horse to bet in the future? How do I do it?
It's a great question, because if you go and select any one of the 350 super funds, including the very best one, as a long-term investment, the odds are, I'm not going to say zero because I don't believe in probabilities of zero, but pretty close to it, that you will not be able to pick one that's going to beat the index. So you've got the 350 sitting. I want to try and pick, and say even in hindsight, if you now had picked the best one with the benefit of hindsight, you would have done worse. Even the best one would have done worse than the stock market index. So going forward, if you want to have the highest probability of having the best return over the long term, then forget about putting your money in any managed fund, any mutual fund, any superannuation fund. Just invest your money in the stock market index and reinvest the dividend, and you got almost a 99.9% chance of being better than any other alternative way of investing your money.
What happens if things go horribly wrong though in the stock market? Does that or do they tend to come back again? Do they tend to rebound?
They do, and this is the basis for it. So when the stock market, things go horribly wrong with the stock market, and the stock market falls, well, then so does every super fund. They don't just stay still. They all go down. They go down by a lesser degree. But when the stock market recovers, then these funds go up by a lesser degree as well. They've got this handbrake implied to them, which is called diversification. And by investing in, by the super funds investing in other diversified asset classes, they actually grow at a slower rate. So that's why they actually do worse over the long term. And here's the clincher, is that the average time for the stock market to get back to its former high before it has a big crash, provided you reinvest the dividends, is about 4.5 years.
Okay. Okay. Now, I know there are some people, some very clever people out there that almost as retirees, almost as a hobby, that play, and it's almost a full-time job, play the stock market. And there are those, I'm sure, that make quite a comfortable living out of it. I'm sure there are equally some that will just say don't. But that isn't in the realm of most of our listeners. Most of our listeners, I would suggest, would be unable to do that because it's you need some knowledge, you need some training, you need some skills in that field. How do the most people cover that? Do they? I mean, I suppose the obvious answer is to go to a specialist.
Well, and that's right. So they kind of say, well, you know, they acknowledge that they've got the expertise in the area, so they go to a financial planner or a financial advisor. And certainly financial planners are needed to get your financial plan, if you like, in place to take care of insurance, et cetera, and, you know, and there's some mandatory things you have to get in place. But when it comes to actually selecting the investments for long-term investment, what you don't want to be doing is paying a financial planner, you know, 0.5% or 1% per annum for the rest of your life because they suggested you go into these index funds or these funds or whatever. The thing that we haven't spoken about yet is how do you get access to the stock market index? And this is the game changer. The game changer is a thing called an exchange-traded fund or an ETF. And there's been a lot written about this for years. They started in the United States some 23 years ago, but they've only really come to the fore in Australia in the last sort of 6 or 7 years. And they're not very well known in Australian investment circles. And by investing in an exchange-traded fund, an ETF, you're effectively going to be in, let's take the one that's the ASX 20 index, so that's the top 20 stocks in the Australian stock market at any given time, that if you invest in that one single fund, you will be investing in the top 20 Australian stocks for the rest of your life. Whatever they may be, the ones that come and go, you're going to be in those, and you don't have to worry about switching between stocks or whatever.
Yep.
You're just in one all the time. Yeah.
And that has to be done through, I don't know the correct terminology, but an agent?
Through a stockbroker. So you just really need to, you have to have a broking account that gives you access to the stock exchange. You don't need to have access to a financial planner or advisor to do this. Most of them who operate on trailing fees wouldn't want to hear this information because then effectively you bypass them. You go straight into the stock market yourself.
Yeah.
And you're always invested in the top 20 stocks or top 50 stocks in Australia.
Great. I know it isn't because otherwise you wouldn't be saying it, but that the ETS sounds almost too good to be true. I probably regret saying those words, but
it is a game changer. But you know, what people need to see, I guess, is evidence and understanding, because the whole financial industry is geared towards the what we call the active mutual funds or active managed funds and the superannuation funds, which are mostly what we call balanced funds. So they balance across a diverse range of asset classes. And so all the advertising, the writing in the newspapers and magazines and everything is all geared towards that side of the market. And whereas exchange-traded funds have very, very low fees, in the order of half to seven times less fees and per annum as to what you'd pay to an industry super fund, and probably 10 to 12 times less than what you'd pay to a retail super fund. So very low fees, so they don't advertise much. You don't hear about them much on.
So how does one find out a little bit more if one of our listeners wants to find out a little bit more about ETS? Go to a stock broker?
You just type in ETFs on Google and you'll find plenty of information. Or you could read my book.
What is that?
You could read my book.
Yeah, no, what's it called?
It's called Blueprint to Wealth.
Blueprint to Wealth, okay.
By Gary Stone. So you just search Blueprint to Wealth, you'll find the book, and it provides all the research and evidence, third party and mine, from very reputable third party organizations that research this information, and I've put it all concisely in one place. It's graphs and charts and everything that show the comparative returns, and people will be able to get the picture very quickly.
Great. Sounds good, Gary. Thank you very much indeed for joining us this afternoon.
Thank you very much for having me on.
Cheers, Gary. Bye-bye now. Bye-bye. That's Gary Stone, who is an investment strategist.